Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Joey Galvez. I want to tell you guys a little bit about the Department of MetaHuman Affairs. This one is a story about a team led by a retired sidekick, two felons, a failed actor from Broadway, and a reprogrammed cyborg. But their first mission is to stop the criminals who have robbed a bank, and they will have to set the world at ease. You're going to get 180 pages of entertainment, action-packed awesomeness right here in the first six issues in a collected hardcover volume one. All you got to do is head on over to Kickstarter.com and type in the Department of MetaHuman Affairs or DMA and check it out right now.
Age of Radio.
What's up?
Hey, what's up?
Well, not much. This is it.
That's it?
Yep.
Another snake.
Oh, okay, cool. We found a snake. Hold on just a sec. Do I need to grab something to grab it with? Or we got him? All right. I love you. This is also the number one reason I don't want to leave the door open the entire time, all day, every day, but that's just me. Future Steve, cut that part out. He's probably going to leave it in because Izzy doesn't listen. Especially on Patreon.
Oh, good boy. Yeah, good boy.
Thank you, beautiful.
Thanks, Sushi. He found me before picking the house today.
Good job, buddy. Good job sniffing out those snakes. Like, this cat looks different. But he'll probably be my friend.
It was just a little maybe gopher snake. It was only like that long.
I figure, yeah. Probably was just hanging out in that pile of leaves or whatever that waits there in the corner by the door.
Got spooked when we were all in and out and bolted in and then desperately wanted back out.
So yeah, that's what's going on with us. Just you know, some snake wrangling.
Just little snakes.
You could have been doing some child wrangling the last couple of days. I just got back from a vacation.
Yeah, how was it?
It was okay, I guess. Yeah, not one of my finer vacations.
One of those ones where it's like you need a vacation afterwards.
Yeah. Man. I got to go right back to work tomorrow, and that's been a shit fire dumpster whatever with work here lately, so nice. Yep, got that to look forward to.
Nice. Well, at least you got to watch this movie beforehand and, you know, leave on a good note. You know, apparently it was a Running Man prison movie kind of thing.
It was hell. was it in hell?
Yeah, in the hell. Jean-Claude movie. It very similar to the Jean-Claude movie in hell we did earlier this year,
including the loss of Bahamans.
Ugh. More on that later. Tank, why?
Yeah, we'll find out which of those films is the better one, so it'll be interesting.
And the thing is, we've interviewed the rapist, both rapists in those movies. Shout out to Michael Bailey Smith. Anyway,
violence and bloodshed. We need to offer a real outlet for those dark impulses. We combed the planet looking for just the right people to appear on No Exit. My recruiters work 24 hours a day. Very persuasive. But we provide superior entertainment. Now, always to the death, guaranteed.
His name is John Stoneman.
You hold 3/10 of your black belts, don't you?
Certainly indicates potential.
A gang attacked his wife. He saved her. He killed one of the attackers and put two on the critical list.
Stoneman, you beat those thugs pretty badly. The kind of training you have must be very effective. Why don't you tell us about it?
Bring him to me, Mr. Tabak.
Put the fucking gun down!
It's another thing to be truly provoked. I wanted to kill those people.
We got him. How was he? Strong, fast, an excellent choice, sir. You'll make a fine competitor.
Welcome to No Exit.
That's Darkona. He's fought in three of Armstrong's tournaments.
What exactly is No Exit?
No Exit is a little game of my own devising.
You don't think everybody comes up here tries to escape?
Rules are simple. Reaction fast.
You call this slavery a business?
You fight an opponent until one of you dies.
This is crazy.
We got company.
I could kill you right now, ladies.
Who the hell are you?
Shut up.
Back off, Darkona.
I'd rather die free than live in there.
What do you want on your tombstone, asshole?
I want to go home.
Hold air. Five.
Just what we need.
Four.
There's nothing you can do to stop me.
No exit, baby.
Three.
Say hello, John.
Two.
It won't be long now, Mrs. Stone.
One.
You lose, baby. Let them get a good taste for each other. It'll make good promo.
Yeah! Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Steve.
And I'm Izzy.
And this is Everything I Learned from Movies. And tonight! We are continuing Sventember with one of Sven Thorsen's finest performances. 1995's No Combat! Or No Exit, depending on where you find it. Yeah, as well as mid-90s movies, you know, they have two or three names each. But babe, we couldn't do this one alone.
We couldn't.
You know why?
What?
With us, we have the homie Mike Beckford. Welcome, Michael Beckford!
Hey, no exit for me on this.
No exit, baby.
Oh, I just realized there is a point in this movie where an exit becomes an entrance. No exits.
Michael, thank you for joining us. Was this your first time watching Fatal Combat or No Exit?
Yes, this is my first time, and I watched the Riff Trax version that just came out like a couple of weeks ago.
I saw that. When I was looking for pictures, that came up. Oh, how was it?
It was fine. I noticed that it was a little bit shorter than the one on Tubi, so it'll be interesting to see what the differences are.
Gee, I wonder what scene they might have cut. Babe, was this your first time watching this movie?
Yeah.
Of course it was. This is the first time anybody's watched this movie.
Did this even think of this movie, Steve?
More on that in fun facts. Before we really get into this, babe.
Steve.
I don't know about you. I'm a little thirsty.
I'm way too sober to talk about this.
Watching 2 hours of hot man-on-man slapping action. Anyway.
Spoiler alert, butt smuggling.
Hello.
We did that for the podcast, right?
Butt smuggling? What? No.
No, that was just us?
No, that was just us.
Oh, so they don't even get to
either the original or the... Oh, we've talked about it a couple times. Guys, there's a remake of Papillon that came out 2016.
It's pretty good. It is really good.
As Charlie Hunnam, a.k.a. King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, and Academy Award winner Rami Malek.
Yeah.
Guess which one of them really gets into the butt smuggling?
They're calling
him the butt bank towards the end of the movie. But if you like
a lot more butt smuggling in that movie than like any other prison movie I think I've seen.
I mean, yeah. I mean, we watched Oz, but yeah, that was a series, not a movie. So
I would say in that 2 hour movie, possibly more butt smuggling than the whole of Oz.
Per minute, absolutely. I would definitely go with that.
Well, we have from Alaskan Brewing, Alaskan Amber, 5.3% alcohol by volume.
Talking about butt smuggling, and this episode is brought to you by Alaskan Brewing.
I love their amber. It's a delicious alt beer.
Absolutely.
And the pool. It's a beautiful amber color. has a gorgeous, creamy head, lots of very fine bubbles.
And bubbles and a creamy head.
Steve and I got to go to Juneau, Alaska and take the tour of this, this brewery.
We sure did. It was pretty awesome. I'd highly recommend it. And I seem to remember all their beers being pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Even though the only two you'll find here, you know, in the lower 48 is the amber and the white ale with the little orca on front.
Or no, the white ale has polar bear.
Ah.
Yeah, I forget which one has the orca, but you find that one occasionally. It's like the summer ale.
Mm. That's probably it, like seasonal or whatever. So, but that was when we were in California. I think we've only seen this one here in Utah.
No, we've gotten the white here. Mm. A white ale.
I like you drinking anything on your end?
Prison favorite, which is water.
Ooh. Hey. Thought he was going to say butt Bruno or something. Good old toilet wine, me and myself. You guys invited me on a couple of weeks ago, but I'm fine tuning it. And,
ooh.
But the water's good, good, crisp, clean, clear.
Yeah, that's fine.
Mike, we're gonna get you some really good water one of these days.
Okay,
maybe we'll include with our Patreon Christmas package or something. Is like, okay, here's a bottle of our tap water, and you'll
it's
be
delicious.
Like,
oh. It's delicious.
This doesn't taste like train wreck at all.
Yeah, what does Ohio water taste like?
it's okay. It's filtered water, so.
Oh, nice. That's a little Brita or something like that.
Yeah, just whatever the fridge provides.
Nice.
You know, when I was at Costco, I almost bought a Brita because they were on super sale. And I was walking around with it in our cart. And then I was like, wait, we don't need a Brita. It's delicious. Yeah. This is why they're on clearance. Nobody needs them here.
Get the shit to Flint. Yeah.
Right.
So Fatal Combat. From writer-director Damian Lee. Oh, I'm glad you asked. Mike, does that name sound familiar to you at all?
Nope.
Weird, because you've been on an episode with us where we talked about this, starting with Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
Ooh.
Last Man Standing, apparently 1987, not the 96 one I love. Food of the Gods 2. The only thing I know about this movie is it's a sequel to that one that's about giant rats. But this one has like, I've only seen a clip where there's like a giant kid telling his parents to fuck off. I highly recommend look up Food of the Gods 2. There's only one clip you'll usually find on YouTube. It's amazing. And then you follow that up with Abraxas, Guardian of the Universe. Another Sven Ole Thorsen classic.
Sorry, what is the dog into?
Anything? Let's see.
What you got, bud?
Where you at, buddy?
I'm going to check.
He's back in. Well, nothing now.
Oh, I bet he was burying the other part of his
body. Oh, yeah, probably.
Okay.
All right. So, yeah, Abraxas, Guardian of the Universe.
Yeah.
Followed by Ski School, which, Ski School is one of those ski movies I'm sure I've seen. I've seen a lot of them over the years. Let's see, Street Law, this, When the Bullet Hits the Bone, Terminal Rush, Inner Action, which I assume is like an Inner Space knockoff or something. Paper Trail, Agent Red / Captured, starring Dolph Lundgren, of course. One sec.
You just have one of those. That's literally what you were burying.
Yeah, why don't you protect us from snakes, somebody?
Or bring them inside. I'm not really sure which.
Let's see. Hearts of War, which I assume is the love story set in the Lord of War universe. King of Sorrow, Sacrifice, A Dark Truth, I'm assuming a spinoff of An Inconvenient Truth. Hit It, all right. Breakout, A Fighting Man, and most recently Ice Girls. I'm going to guess it's about a figure skating pop group. No one? All right.
I believe it.
Whatever.
But the other writer in this movie, John Lawson.
Who's he, Steve?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. Well, he started with this, And that also helped out with interaction. And then the only thing he has listed is Jungle Boy, which apparently came out around the time like Jungle the Jungle and the Jungle Book spinoffs and all that were coming off. So I'm sure it's great. Coming next April, we'll find out.
Oh, jungle to jungle.
Hold on a sec. Soosh, buddy, what are you barking at? Doesn't matter.
I feel like I'm back on vacation.
Is this what your vacation felt like?
Yeah, I had to go to Legoland one of the times for like a couple of hours. And yeah, that just solidifies my decision to never have any kids after Sophia. Yeah.
He's over it.
That's right. Perfection and then done after that. One and done.
Yeah, she's such a perfect child. You couldn't possibly think about any other child coming close, right?
Yeah. Well, also, I mean, she was a pain in the ass this vacation a couple of times, but like when she was out in public, like compared to other kids, like other kids are fucking shit kids, man.
Hashtag shit kids.
I wish there was a Fatal Combat situation with some of the kids at Legoland. Jesus.
Dude, we call it the Hunger Games or Battle Royale, and those movies were kind of enjoyable just for that reason. I definitely felt an emotion when Rue died, but I don't think it's the same one I was supposed to feel. It was more of a, oh, shit, look at that. Spoilers, Rue dies.
Rue dies, motherfucker.
True lies, motherfucker. Surprise, motherfucker. All right. But starring in this movie, of course, the reason we're all here, Sven Ole Thorsen as Darkona. Jeff Wincott as Professor John Stoneman. Though I swear they just said Stone for like the first 30 minutes
did.
Of the movie.
They did. All right. You're not crazy. That's what they did.
Like anyway. Like when they're doing the little cutesy thing, oh, Professor Stone, oh, I bet you, Professor Stone. Philip Jarrett as Doc. I think that was the linebacker for Chicago. Though I also said they thought they said wide receiver at one point.
Yeah, he's a wide receiver / linebacker / yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, he's one of those rare 60-minute men. Richard Fitzpatrick as Armstrong. And Guylaine Saint-Ong as Carmel Stoneman, the wife, I guess. Unless they had a kid named Carmel I don't know about, but... No. Oh, wait, spoiler alert. No, they didn't. Sneak got that. Mike, you said you watched the Riff Tracks one on this?
Yes, I did.
Nice. Was it on Tubi?
It was also on Tubi, but just came out for Riff Tracks. So, like, at the moment, you have to buy it if you watch the Riff Tracks version. So, yeah, we'll get to my opinion if you should rent this or buy the Riff Tracks version.
Is it like $5 or something like that on Riff Tracks? You know, usually,
No, since it's a new release, it was like $10.
Oh, shit. All right. Well, yeah, we watched it on Tubi, but it's also available on Sling TV and for $2 on Amazon. Guys, Tubi's the way to go.
I'll say that right now. Yeah, Tubi's the way to go on this.
Yeah.
Tubi.
So we press play, and I just have written down screaming nerd as I see a guy wearing glasses running at the screen that's in a suit, flopping in the wind, slow motion. And I'm like, what's going on here? Then there's some implied gang rape or something. And then we got a commercial from this guy. We'll find out his name's Armstrong later in the movie. But he's basically like, oh, man, the football and all these other sports, they don't do anything. They're like the pretty girl who wants to hold hands. It's nice, but we just really want to fuck. And that's why we offer real death, real situations, blah, blah, blah. Ugh. I'm like, what? What's going on here? And then we get title card, Fatal Combat. And yeah, as the credits are rolling, you see this chopper flying through this white ice canyon or whatever, and like, oh, okay, pretty cool shot of probably, yeah, Alaska, Canada, Iceland, I don't know, somewhere they shot Game of Thrones, I'm guessing. But Yeah, just beautiful, like, white snow cliffs with, like, that like, glowing blue glacial ice. Water, like, just good stuff. But then, yeah, we cut to night, and we see a hovercraft, couple of hovercrafts basically just, like, doing donuts. Like, someone doesn't know how to drive it or something. It just keeps going in circles and circles. But, yeah, see guys, you know, like a TV switchboard, like, all right, camera one, camera two, switch, all right, switch back to one. All right, back to camera three. Yeah, get the angle, blah, blah, blah. And we get this introduction to the show called No Exit. And we see this Armstrong guy who was talking earlier, and he's basically on, I don't know, the phone from Back to the Future, where it's like 25 TVs or whatever, but it's all showing the same picture of a Japanese guy or whatever, and it's like, Mr. Takahashi, as I live and breathe. But but he's like, no, the way this works is, this is all real deaths, real consequences in these matches. And what happens is I call you an hour before we're going to have an event and give you the code to unscramble the signal. And that's when you get to see it. And it's $1 million. And I'm like, get the fuck out of here. This would never, ever work.
Nope.
Even before the internet, people wouldn't pay $1 million just to watch some rando die.
Nope.
I don't know. Right.
Yeah. But that's what those hunting islands are for, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. If you're the one doing the hunting, and if I remember my hard target pricing or whatever, that's like $20,000.
Right.
And maybe it was $100,000. I forget.
And he was, that was for like a ex-military.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. I think the people pay $100,000 and the guy can win $20,000 if he makes it to the river, but never happens. Quote unquote. Yeah. Anyway, you guys get it. But yeah, it's like, no, you pay $1 million and you get to watch it on TV on live feed. It's going to work. Like, all right, not already finding flaws in that business plan, but that's cool. Maybe it's like for $1 million to then send it to his people. I don't know. But yeah, we see this giant, bombastically large man, Darkona, played by Samuel Thorson. And he's just walking through and just like, you know, kicking people and just snapping fucking necks. And I don't know, puts one dude's face first, like into the fan of the hovercraft, and, you know, good times. Was this all shown on Rift Tracks?
Oh, yeah.
Excellent.
Gotta have that part.
Yeah, so after like five necks, they're like, yep, Darkona wins. And he gives a little, ah! By the way these fight scenes are shot are some of the worst shot fucking fight scenes I've ever seen.
These make Transformers look competent.
Yeah, it's the same super close stuff. Throwing in like all the J.J. Abrams lens flares from like the light shining directly into the camera with the people. It's not great, but you kind of get the idea of what's going on. Just don't, you know, make real sense of it.
So what has better shot fight sequences, this or Champagne and Bullets?
Champagne and Bullets.
Honestly, Champagne and Bullets, you can at least see that it's a shitty fight going on.
Yeah.
you can see that punch miss by a good 4 feet.
The fight choreography might be better in this, but we would never know because the cinematography is better in Champagne and Bullets.
That's right, a drunk Wings Hauser behind the camera.
Oh, they should have had John DeHart and Wings Hauser as two of the people fighting in Fatal Combat.
Dude, okay, so the main guy, the professor, I'm like, you know, you put a mustache on him, that's basically John DeHart, right? No, it's what John DeHart thinks he looks like with his shirt off. We'll get there. But yeah, then we get, I guess the scene after this is we see two guys like in a dojo or whatever, like, you know, practicing or whatever, you know, doing their katas and all that.
Okay, am I the only one who, when these guys are doing the katas and doing the does your guys' brain automatically fill in with the Iron Chef? Cuisine!
Yeah. Mark Dacascos would have been great in this movie.
Mark Dacascos. They don't have Mark Dacascos butt money.
They could afford him back in the early 90s.
I don't think they could in this movie.
Oh, I'm sorry. Crow the TV series era Mark Dacascos. You don't think they could afford him?
No. Okay. That's how little I think of this budget. They blow all their money on Sven Ole Thorsen.
Yeah.
They blew out the whole $20,000 on him.
Yeah.
And all those 25 televisions showing the same video. But yeah. So, and then Dojo, the guys are just, you know, doing their dojo thing. And then these three guys in suits just show up and start beating the shit out of them. They shoot the one dude just like right in the chest immediately.
Yep.
And then, yeah, one guy like Billy clubs the other and they just fucking kidnap him off to whatever. We then cut to, I don't know, looks like there's some business center, like there's an overhead projector, but it's like in a dark room and there's like the little red glow light. Like, wait, do they develop photos and then put it on the overhead projector? That didn't seem to make sense. But we see this kid like walking around like, hello? Hello? Professor Stone or whatever, is this where it's supposed to be? And then this guy pops up like, hey, you, rich boy. Yay, punk ass, kike ass, motherfucker. Like, this guy's like going in on this kid, like, yeah, you look like one of those little bitch kids that take it from behind, blah, blah, blah. Like, I think he even dropped a couple F bombs. We definitely get a lot of slurs throughout this movie.
Oh, yeah.
And from, I think, every major character.
Yeah.
I think even the wife throws it out once. But yeah, just going in on this kid, and he's like, look, man, I'm not gonna fight you, all right? I'm a third degree black belt in Taekwondo. Like, yeah, you say that, you boy, but you don't know shit. You like one of those. Anyway, it goes on and on and on. And basically the guy's just like baiting him, like, come on, hit me, what you gonna do about it? Yeah, typical, you know. And then and then he eventually just stops and he's like, all right, very good. Lights, please. And we open up and it's like basically like a classroom with like seating for 200.
Yeah.
And like, oh, Jason did a great job here, you know, blah blah blah. As you can see, violence is never the answer. I'm like, wait, what class is this? Yeah, and this class is full too. Like, there's a good 100 extras sitting in those seats. But he's like, yeah, violence is never excusable. And if you take my class for over the next 30 weeks of ethics and physical application, I'm like, what? What the fuck are we talking about?
I don't even
know. A 30-week class? And he's like, yep, it's going to be a lot, too. You're going to have assignments every day. And chapter 1 through 4 in the book are due tomorrow. Bye, everybody. And I'm like, yep, you will never see those fuckers again.
Yep. Mike, it's like something, it's called like warriorism or some bullshit.
Yeah, he said ethics and physical application, but then he gave like three other names. And I'm like, well, what do I sign up for? Is this an elective? Like,
right.
Like, even if I wanted to be in this class, how do I do it? So I don't know, Mike, did you ever have a class like this in college?
Nope. I would be dropping the fuck out if something like that happened.
Yeah, intro to pacifism or something like that. Like, what am I going to learn here? How not to kill somebody? Okay, that's great. But yeah, then he, you know, as the class is leaving, he like pulls Jason aside and is like, hey, I just want to apologize for all that horrible shit that just seemed to flow out of me so naturally. I don't know why I did that, but I just want you to know you're a great kid and I'm really looking forward to having you as part of this class. And I'm almost like, and this is where he punches him in the dick and walks away, you know. But but then we see a lady professor walking in behind, you know, behind him. And he's like, all right, well, have a good day, Jason. And I forget how the conversation goes. We basically like, she walks up and like, excuse me, Professor Stone, I think there's something we need to talk about. And they're like rubbing her belly. And I'm like, wait, I hope these guys are married.
Right.
But yeah, they're both professors at the same college. While they're going, oh, Professor Stone. Oh, hello, Professor Stone. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. How's a little baby doing in here? And he keeps saying he's got a name, that the baby's name is Einstein. And I'm like, wait.
Einstein Stoneman?
Yeah, Einstein Stoneman. So it's like one stone man. Come on, guys. But we then cut to them going to a doctor's visit and we get a nice little exposition from the doctor, basically like, look, I know you guys were basically the same scenario as Inconceivable, where you can
right.
Had a couple of miscarriages and blah blah blah. This one's looking good. I just want you to avoid stress and you know, any physical activity. And I'm like, well, she's about to enter a ninja tournament. But
that office looked more like a lobby.
Yeah, that was the waiting room of a real doctor's office, I think. There's a reason there's no other patients in that waiting room, because he is not a great doctor. He's also like, I also recommend you take your husband here and get him drunk. I'm like, what?
Yeah, I recommend one shot of whiskey.
It was a glass of wine.
Or glass of wine, there you go.
Maybe I will have a glass of wine. Oh, by the way, here's a letter with the gender reveal in it. And so they're, you know, walking out of there. And
you know, some people want to know the gender of their baby so they can pick out colors and stuff. But they're just not as evolved as we are. Something like that.
Yeah, so some conversation where I'm like, 30 years later, where are we? Shooting gender reveal letters out of a cannon into...
Oh, you didn't hear the latest thing is gender reveal lasagnas?
No, that's not a real thing, babe. I know you sent me the link, but I'm not paying $140, $160 with tip for a gender reveal lasagna with it's pink and or blue in my lasagna.
It's 12, babe. No, Steve and I are, we're starting our new business. We're doing gender concealment parties. If you would like to conceal your birth gender, we can set that party up. We have the cloaks and hoods available.
That's right.
We will seal your gender into a lasagna and then consume it. So
your baby will come out looking like a Barbie or Ken doll. Maybe both.
I'm going to do a Fatal Combat gender reveal thing. So like have two people fight to the death. And then like when they swipe the card, so like if they explode a certain color, it'll either be a boy or a girl.
There you go. You know, when they're running that credit card through the, I used to call it the rack. I don't know what the official thing is, but a little, that thing you put credit cards through to get the imprint.
Oh, yeah. The old school credit card imprinters. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, man, what year was this made again? I thought I saw that on Murder, She Wrote the other day. But yeah. They're talking about, well, do you want to know the sex? Nah, they throw the letter away. And it's like, little Einstein's going to be great no matter what gender they are. But yeah, they're down in this parking lot. And he's like, oh, shit, I forgot the credit card. Like, oh, that's okay. I'll just wait here in this dark parking lot that looks like something out of Highlander. And I'll just wait for you to come back. Definitely not going to walk back with you to get it or something. That's cool. So yeah, you then see five guys walking around the parking lot in super slow motion as they ran down. Runtime, because it's like a full 2 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, we see the wife, and she's like, I guess sees them in slow. This is all in slow motion. Like, the next 10 minutes of this movie is going to be summed up in three lines. But it's basically like, yeah, she's fumbling her keys and, like, trying to get in the car so the guys don't see her, or I don't know what. But, yeah, they start, like, you know, basically, like, catcalling her and, like, basically attacking her in the car, like breaking the windows and pulling her out the windows and shit. Meanwhile, inside the hospital, which I thought was, you know, right on the other side of the doors or whatever, because when he gets the credit card, well, and the lady like goes to hand it to him, but ends up like just tossing it on the ground near him because he like stops and like hears her crying like on the other side of the door. Oh. I'm like, oh shit. So he's like 5 seconds away, right?
No,
apparently he's going down like 10 stories of stairs, and I don't know. But yeah, basically he gets down there just in time for them to like, well, one guy's got like a knife to her fucking throat, and the other four guys have like crowbars and shit. And you know, he's doing the Jackie Chan, look, I don't want no trouble with you. And and the guy's like, whatever, man, give us your money. You probably got like $10,000 on you or something. He's like, yeah, I can get you $10,000. Just let her go, guys. Come on. I don't want to fight. I don't want to do blah, blah, blah. And then, yeah, the first guy like gets like swings at him, gets close, and he just knocks that guy out. Like, I was expecting to see him like hit the ground and get all the air out of this guy. He's dead, right?
Right.
And then the second guy, he's like, fuck this, and he just runs off, and I'm like, You know what? MVP of the movie right there.
Right? That guy made the wise choice. That guy's like, you know what? I'm in over my head. I got swept up in the moment. And I think I would like to return to the trade school from which I came.
That's right. He was even like, guys, just let her go. This is dumb. And they're like, look, you man, we're in too far now. And he's like, all right, well, bye. Whoop. back to learning how to work sheet metal. But then numbers 3 and 4, they come at him, they get their asses quit. So it's down to the last guy who's kind of looks like fucking Ernie Reyes or like Rufio from Hook or whatever, but he's got the knife to the wife's throat and he's like, what you can do, man? Come on, I'm a fucking killer. And he's like, look, violence is not the answer. I don't want to hurt you. And then like, oh yeah, cool.
I don't want to hurt you, but I can fuck you up.
Just let my wife, let me have her. And he's like, oh yeah, you can have her. And the guy stabs the wife in the fucking gut. And I'm like, oh shit, this movie just did a hashtag child murder.
Shit.
Oh no. So then we get a pretty decent fight between the Ernie Reyes guy and Dr. Stoneman or whatever. Probably the best shot fight of the entire movie, honestly. Yeah,
probably.
Because they have to stand 5 feet back. I don't know. But yeah, basically he ends up, you know, does he end up killing this guy or just knocking him the fuck out? Because I know he ends up killing one of them. Yeah, I think it was this last guy, right?
I thought he got away, actually.
This guy got away? Because I know the whole thing is like he killed one and like put two others in the ICU or something like that, or, you know, critical care. But yeah,
this was definitely starting to turn into a Con Air situation.
Yeah. Nice. All right. Wife showing me Instagram stuff. But yeah,
Steve just needed to see this one particular meme that was very Steve. It says, biodegradable burial pods turn your body into a tree. And the top comment is, plant a walnut tree on top of me so people can eat my nuts forever.
Yeah.
And this is Steve, I think. If you go before me, that's how I'm going to honor you.
Sounds good.
And I'm going to name it Steve's Nuts Tree. He's Nuts Tree.
And when the wind hits the tree just right in the evening, you can almost hear it say, fuck all y'all. So
this tree likes it if you sing it some DMX.
That's right. It's going to give it to you.
I want to be pocket sand when I die.
Yeah.
Yeah, pocket sand. My mom has already made me promise that we will cremate her and put her into a firework and shoot her up.
Yeah. Into the sky, down to our veins.
Into the sky. Yeah. Into the sky. Yeah. Yeah. Look, the woman who does whippets in the refrigerator with the Canada Cool Whip does not shoot up.
So speaking of shooting up, what's his name? Dr. Stoneman like picks up his wife and takes her back to the hospital, you know, 3 feet away. By the way, no security in this parking lot whatsoever, ever. But take her to the hospital and they're like, you know, putting her on the gurney, like rolling her through the hospital. And, you know, some of the orderlies are like holding Dr. Stoneman or Professor Stoneman back because, you know, like, hey, we're going to surgery. You can't go in. And he's like, oh, get your fucking ass off me. Get your fucking ass off me, you cocksucking guy. Like, that, like, kind of switching back into class mode, I guess. And like, oh, sorry. I apologize for that. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Just please keep me posted, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So the next morning, you know, he wakes up in the, or she wakes up in the hospital room and he's like passed out, like in the chair next to her, blah, blah, blah. So he wakes up. And, you know, she finds out that the baby's gone and, you know, just kind of a nice, sad, solemn moment. She's screaming, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And we kind of slowly pan over to see Jason from class is there in the room, just standing by the door.
Yeah.
Like rubbing his thumb on his lips. And it's like, all right. Not going to let her know you're even in the room right now. Okay.
That's right. Cool.
Well, luckily then a news reporter and cameraman come busting in. They're like, Dr. Stillman, was this that you killed somebody and put two others in critical care, just defending your wife, who's obviously right here and lost a baby because she was stabbed in the stomach. Oh, hello, ma'am. Like, and of course, he's like, hey, get out of here. Get out of here. Where the fuck is security in this hospital? Jesus Christ. Get those guys that protect the surgery room. I don't know. Yeah, Jason's there. And I don't know. We just then cut to this giant ice dome in the middle of nowhere. Like, it's out of... was it Tomorrow Never Dies? Is that the one? That,
Die Another Day.
Die Another Day. That's the one. Yep. And, we see, what's his name? Tayback? Basically, the guy that is running around kidnapping people, he's basically talking about, like, hey, I think I found our next player. He's a 10th degree black belt, and, his wife got assaulted, and he ended up putting a bunch of people, like, in the morgue or in the hospital. And I think he'll be great. He's an all-American hero angle we're looking for. All right, cool. And
sometimes I think your dialogue would be much better than what they use in the film. Yeah.
Look, of all the actors in this movie that I found actually enjoyable, Armstrong was pretty fucking funny at some points. Yeah. The guy running the Fatal Combat or whatever.
Yeah, he didn't do too bad.
Yeah,
I've seen him in a bunch of other stuff too, like better stuff. So maybe he had more of the acting pedigree down than some of the others.
Yeah, he kind of reminded me of the guy from Phantasm, the like older uncle guy or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
The truck. Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, what happens from here? Yeah. So yeah, Jason and Dr. Stillman, they're like leaving the hospital. And, Dr. Stone's like, I don't know. I was talking about pacifism and not fighting, but then when it was put in front of me, I damn near killed a bunch of people. I just feel like I could have done something more if I wasn't focusing on not fighting or something. And Jason's like, no, man, you can't think like that. Otherwise your whole class is dumb. I don't know. But yeah, then they get attacked in the parking lot and, yeah, they end up taking Stoneman and Jason because they're just kind of like, yeah, take the kid too. What?
Yeah.
He might have seen our faces or something and he can probably fight. I don't know. So then
he'll be good fodder, right?
Exactly. Oh, if anything, he'll be some sweet meat later. Oh boy. Ooh. Yeah, so then we cut to, we're live on the air with the latest edition of No Exit. And we see Darkona fighting this dude and just beats his ass and breaks his neck. And that was pretty easy there, right? So then the new meat gets brought into town and
fresh meat.
That's right. And they're like cuffed and then they're also like jogging like into the area or whatever. And I'm like, oh God, one or the other, just torture me or have me jog, not both. Guys, I don't like jogging, but
jogging sucks.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen any happy joggers or runners on the road?
No.
Or are they always just fucking miserable?
Guys, who are the best joggers in the world? People in Kenya. They're fucking miserable.
People who have to outrun lions a living.
But they're so healthy. And yeah, they have to be.
Right.
Otherwise, they get turned to lion shit. then they get all introduced to Armstrong, like, hi, I'm Houston Armstrong. I run a private broadcast here where you guys are going to fight to the death called No Exit. It's a tournament. I'm glad you asked for all the details because I'm going to give them to you right now. You guys fight to the death. That's basically it. Some of you might even survive. All right, bye. That was pretty much it. So then we cut to the mess hall and they're being fed this like gruel or whatever. You know, it's a prison mess hall. Like, yeah, it's a prison movie basically. And Jason, he's freaking out, like, oh my gosh, how are we gonna get out of here? Blah blah blah. He's like, look, we just need to stay calm and cool and we'll figure it out. We just gotta get more information and we'll find a way out of here, right? Then we meet Darkona, and he's basically he's basically like, oh, it looks like we got some new meat. And so him and his buddies go walking up to their table and he goes to say hi. And
I don't know. He says something like, hey there, pretty boys, or whatever. You know I could kill you right now. And one of them was like, look, we're not here to fight. And he goes, shut up, bitch. And I'm like, yeah. And then he screams an F-slur, and I'm like, ooh, okay. Never thought I'd hear my childhood hero tanks screaming right. The F-word. But that leads to a fight. And they, a lot of asses are beaten, but luckily no necks are snapped in this
there
one.
We go.
Before they come in, break it up. And, before he leaves the room, Darkona says, welcome to No Exit. What happens from here? Yeah, they like wake up in the infirmary. So I don't know, they got knocked out or like shocked or whatever, like tased or something. But they wake up like the infirmary, and they see on the TV, they're like, oh yeah, this wide receiver or linebacker from Chicago, Doc Holliday. I don't remember what his name was, but I don't know, it was like Aaron or something. I think other anyway. Like, oh, that's that NFL player that went missing 8 months ago. I'm like, yeah, apparently he's been here fighting for his life the whole time. Wherever here is, maybe it's Northern Canada. I don't know. But we get some exposition from somebody. I don't know. Oh, no, that's right. That's right. Aaron or whatever is in the infirmary with him. That's right. Yeah. He's the one like patching him up. That's right. Shit.
That's why they call him Doc.
That's right. Okay, so he's docking us. All right, what was it? Philip Jarrett? There we go. All right, cool. But yeah, we get the, he starts dumping exposition like, oh yeah, Darkona's in here. You know, he killed three cops, but he's been here for like 3 years just killing motherfuckers, like just slaying them. And Stoneman's like, well, you know, there's more of us than there are of them. If we just band together, we could find a way out of here. And Doc's like, actually, there's more of them than there are of us. We have a tendency to die here. So, you know, I just stay alive no matter what I got to do, you know. We think a nice little scene where we're back at the hospital room where his wife is, and she's like on the phone trying to find out where her husband is. And I guess the guy with like the police, if there are police in this town, is basically like, oh, yeah, we haven't found him anywhere.
Zero leads. And all I can do is confirm that he is, in fact, missing.
Yeah. We checked every whorehouse, hen house, outhouse, roundhouse, roadhouse. Yeah. Tommy Lee Jones, great cameo. No. What happens from here? We get a scene where Johnny's like in his cell, like doing the splits. Johnny Stoneman. Stoneman is in the... in his cell doing the splits, and Tabak like kind of like sneaks in. He's got like a little baton with him, and he like goes to like hit him with it, and then Stoneman like snacks it from him. But then Tabak pulls out a gun, like, aha, you're fast, I could kill you right here. But no, I don't think so, buddy. And he starts dropping the N word and F words, talking about Doc and Jason, and it's like, okay, this guy should be dying shortly, right? No, all right. But he's basically like, hey, Armstrong wants to see you. Cool, let's go see him. So they go to Armstrong's, I don't know, temple, I guess, that he has in this place. He just like kneeled down like a little Buddhist altar or something. And they start chatting, and it's like, I know you think revenge is beneath you, and this whole tournament of killing people is just so lowbrow, but I assure you, no exit here. It's like an essential service. Like, football just isn't brutal enough, and people are getting more violent. You can blame it on movies and video games and all that stuff, but it's because it's the opposite effect. Like, people want to get this shit out. And he starts going into the whole speech again about like, it's like the pretty girl who wants to hold hands. Sure, it's nice, but sometimes you just want to fuck. Am I right?
Deep down, all we really want to do is fuck.
That's right. No exit. We just fuck. But yeah, Stoneman's like, look, this is a travesty, and I won't be any part of it. And eventually Armstrong's like, all right, cool, whatever. I tried talking to you. Take him back to his cell. And then yeah, we get a like Doc fighting an Asian guy. And I don't know what was going on, because they're just like running down a hallway side by side at first, and then they start fighting, and then like they like break this glass thing, and they get this little like a key card for a hotel or something. And then he runs it through a thing on his wrist. And I'm like, wait, did he just charge $20 to his Venmo or something? Wait, what's going on here? Nope. And then the Asian guy just fucking explodes. And it's like, oh, it's the Running Man. Okay, got it.
It's a boy.
Yeah. Gender reveal bomb. But I don't know. We get a whole scene where Stoneman and Doc are doing like these breathing exercises where they do the I'm not punching you. You know, that goes on for a while. But you know, it's an excuse for Stoneman to have his shirt off and be all greased up and showing off the muscles and all. Yeah, then when we got to like Armstrong's office, right? And one of the guy comes walking in and he's just like, well, Henderson killed himself, pussy. And he's like, oh, he was supposed to fight tonight, wasn't he? Damn it. All right, well, maybe we'll just sub Stoneman in. You know, we got to get him out there eventually, right? Yeah, we cut to, the latest episode of American Gladiators, where it's like, Stoneman against this other guy. And, you know, they're basically like, hey, we're about to go live. If you guys don't fight, you're going to be shot dead by these guys with guns. So, you know, good luck with like the joust with the electric fence. And basically the jousting ends are like cattle prods or something. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. Because there's the scene where Stoneman gets hit. He like grabs the end of one and his hand gets burned. Yeah.
Like, oh, you know, the weird thing is like they're fighting the deaf and I noticed like they're wearing safety pads, like on their knees and yeah, shoulders.
Right?
Look at that. They're geared up like American Gladiators, but it's like to the death, right?
They
like,
want them to leave beautiful corpses, guys.
They want to last more than like 2 minutes, I guess. Like if they just gave them katanas, like it's fucking Islander, it'd be
naked with katanas.
Yeah, there we go. They need more of that in Greco-Roman wrestling. It's just random shivs. Yeah, but yes, they fight and they introduced the one guy like Ronald Henry, a former champion kickboxer, as the opponent. And eventually Ronald he hits the fence and just gets fucking fried and like falls on the ground. And fucking Armstrong's like, finish him. You gotta kill him, or else we'll kill you. And he's like, Stoneman's just like standing over him. He's like, no, if you want to kill me, then fucking kill me, whatever. And like tosses his weapon or whatever and like walks off. We then cut to him hanging upside down, and I'm like, oh shit.
Right.
That was quick. And I was expecting to be like hanging him by his ankles and then like the guy's gonna come in and like do the, you know, lethal weapon like torture shit on him or something like that. No, he actually wanted to do that. He was just doing the the hanging upside down, and I assume he was doing like sit-ups earlier in the scene. I don't know. Yeah, Aaron or whatever comes in, he's like, dude, you can't just be like refusing to kill people. They'll just kill you and then get somebody new. And I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what they'll do. They've done it to everybody else, you know, but whatever. But yeah. Stoneman gives the whole thing like, no, we've got to like set an example to make a difference. And then when we make a difference, then they'll, you know, that's how we'll stop them. And I'm like, I feel like you're missing a few steps in there. You may need to explain this to me a little more. It ends up with like, what if this is our only way out of here? And I'm like, you know, the only way I could see that working is if, like, you know, get to the point where, like, oh, yeah, I'm not going to kill him. You have to kill me. And then, you know, they just start shooting the winners or whatever. And then, like, yeah, viewership is down or something like that. Like, that's about the only way you could really bring something like this down. Then they just lower their prices, you know, whatever. It's 20, I don't know. Anyone else? Anyone else got a plan how to get out of this place?
Not a clue.
Yeah, I don't know. What happens? Yeah, we do hear they have a couple customer complaints. So they're like, I paid to see blood, not injuries, and blah blah blah. But like, I mean, Stoneman did technically kill the guy because he died of his injuries afterwards. Like, yeah, but it wasn't on the screen. That's what they want to see.
Right.
And I'm like, I mean, you have the wrist things with bombs on them or whatever. Like, if they don't want to kill him, then I don't know, just explode them and then also explode them. I don't know if that's what you're going for, but
credit card, you got it.
That's right. You got it.
They should have had that as one of the punchlines.
Do you want to get sued? Home Alone 2 ain't gonna have that shit. What happens from here? Yeah, so yeah, we get another scene in Armstrong's office where you know, Stoneman and Armstrong chat, and he basically breaks to him like, look, you killed that guy. Like, he died of the injuries like right after. Like, you may not have done it on screen, but this is you. And someone's like, look, I'm just running a business here. And you like, slavery was a business, how could you, blah blah blah. And I'm like, that's just more like human trafficking with like planned crashes. Like, it's a little different, but yeah, it's kind of the same too. But yeah, they just start like rationalizing their own, let's face it, they're both kind of weird philosophies. One of them's like,
yeah,
you know, like, oh, I'm gonna win by just standing in the corner doing nothing. And like, okay, in hell, good luck with that. Definitely isn't gonna lead to a big battle with the big baddie after he has fun with your effeminate friend. Don't worry about it. But that's right. It's also the first time Armstrong's like, look, if you're not gonna do what we tell you, we could also just like bring that wife of yours into this whole situation. And he's like, you leave my family out of this.
What would you say that name?
Man. Meanwhile, we cut to the mess hall, and you know, Jason's just having dinner all by his lonesome. And Darkona walks up and he's like, hey, see you around, sweet meat. I'm sorry, I gotta say it like Sven. See you around, sweet meat.
Yeah.
And then, okay, I have this line written down, and I don't know what it's about. Even in the midst of winter, there is an invincible summer. I know Stoneman's like saying that to Doc for some reason. Or is it to Jason? I'm sorry, because Jason's like, man, we got to get the fuck out of here, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, even in the midst of winter, there's an invincible summer. Cool, what the fuck does that mean? What's that have to do with anything?
He's just saying that because he's a pretentious college professor that has a 30-week course on warriorism.
Yeah, to find out more about it, buy my book. Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, Jason, he's like ready to fucking escape. And he's like, no, not yet. We're not ready. So then we get a nice little montage music video of them, you know, doing katas and Darkona just snapping fuckers' necks and stuff. And I'm like, there's no easy way out. The song they're singing was actually called like No Way Out too. That's why it was like, you're gonna get fucking sued. Oh, that's right. Then we get a scene where Darkona is in the mess hall again, and this time he spits in Jason's food and said, your time gonna come, baby. And I'm like, oh no, this is gonna get bad. Oh, that's right. And after he's like, your time gonna come, baby, and then he like pinches his cheek or whatever, like a little baby, and then gives, you see him pull his giant fucking mitt of a hand and just give like a little tender slap on the other cheek. And I'm like, oh, he's gonna fuck that face.
Oh yeah.
like I've seen a lot of prison movies. I haven't seen ones where it's like, oh, he's gonna rip that boy in half.
Right.
Yeah, so yeah, Jason, he wants to get the fuck out of there, obviously. But we also notice like Jason has like a shiv like in his sock. He's like ready to like pull it out, but then Darkona starts walking away and he's like, all right, maybe another time. So night rolls around and Tayback comes into Jason's room and just grabs him and takes him to another room and says, hey, there's somebody who wants to play with you. Mike, what happens?
He goes into the room and Darkona is there.
Yeah.
Waiting to do some of that action he promised Alexander.
Yeah.
This was in the Riff Trax version.
This was in the Riff Trax version?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. This was the part I'm sure they would cut.
It's MST3K that they keep child friendly.
Yeah, true. Yeah, they, well, the creation on Riff Trax, they like, you know, hide the boobs and stuff. So I didn't know if they were gonna hide the, you know, cheek clapping. No. So yeah, Darkona's come to you know, time gonna come. And and Jason pulls out the shiv and fucking stabs Darkona in his hand, like right in the middle or meaty part.
Yeah.
And he's like, ah, son of a bitch. But then you see Darko just pull the shiv out and start like licking the blood out of his hand. And I'm like,
it's disgusting.
I'm like, oh fuck, is he like a robot or something? you better hope you die quick, Jason. Spoilers, he doesn't. Instead, you know.
There is no exit from that situation.
Yeah, there is no exit. And then Darkona looks at him like, I'm not going to lie, baby. I'm going to make you scream. And I'm like, oh, fuck. And then as Izzy put it, face down, ass up. That's the way he likes to fuck.
Well, because he knocks the kid down and then pushes his head down. And it's like, all right, that's where the song came from.
Yeah.
He got a little bit aggressive.
Yeah, slightly aggressive.
Aggressive.
Just a tad.
Yeah. Had I known this scene existed, might have come up in our interview with Sven Olof Horsen. Like, so the rape scene in Fatal Combat. He's like, I don't want to talk about that right now.
Why did you use the F slang so many times in this film?
Look, it was 95.
Oh, that was not my fault. That was the script.
I still barely know what it means.
Yeah. It's not that bad. Look, it's not that bad a word here in Europe.
Yeah. It's like cunt, you know. But so then we cut to the next day and like they're walking Jason back to his cell and Stone was like, What happened to him? Like, Darkona, man, he glazed that guy's donut. Like he ain't gonna walk right for a week. And and someone's like, no. And then Johnny
he said Darkona got to him and he used him like a woman.
Yeah, used him like a woman. That's right. I'm like, oh,
because that's when I was like, oh, they have really strong roles for women.
Yeah,
right now.
Yeah. We got back to the wife still in the hospital bed. Have you seen my husband yet? Yeah, but Jason, he like blames Johnny for the whole situation or Stoneman or whatever. And he's like, what? I didn't rape you. And he's like, yeah, but you're the one that doesn't want to leave. I just want to get the fuck out of here. Okay. And then we like pan to the right and Armstrong's like right there in the prison with everybody. And I'm like, oh, cool. This is where he kills Armstrong and maybe tie back before the other five guys like got him down. Roll credits, guys. What do we think of? No. Nothing like that in case, you know, instead Armstrong's just kind of like, yeah, well, you know, this is what happens when you don't play by the rules. We maybe could have helped him, but, you know, you didn't want to kill the guy on TV or some shit. Okay, cool. Then the next night, one of the guards thinks, well, you know, Darkona kind of went through this, so maybe it's a hot dog in a hallway situation, but maybe I can get some with this Jason kid. Maybe he liked it. So the guard, like, goes in, like fully armed, is basically like, hey, bend over, buddy. I'm not gonna think. And Jason, like, you know, whoops his ass, takes his gun, and like
the guard comes in, strokes his leg and pats his ass.
Yeah.
And is like, don't worry, I'll be real gentle.
Yeah. I'll take care of you, baby. And yeah, Jason just whoops his ass, gets the gun, and like starts making a run for it out of the prison. The only thing is this prison's in the middle of fucking icy nowhere.
Yep.
Luckily, Jason at least found a code or whatever before he went running off. And yeah, I guess word gets around, like alarm goes off or whatever. And Stoneman like hears about it and he's like, what? No, Jason, come. And he's like, Jason, come back, blah, blah, blah. And I think he ends up beating like Tabak's ass and running off. And, you know, Tabak's like, look, Stoneman went after Jason. Should I just like bring him back and kill him or something? He's like, no. Let him go. And we see fucking Stoneman like on a four-wheeler chasing after, I guess following his tracks or something. I don't know what. But basically eventually catches up with Jason. He's like, hey, come back to the Fatal Combat thing with me. And Jason's like, do you fucking hear yourself? No, I'm getting fucking, like, he like pulls a gun like on Stoneman and is like, no, I'm fucking leaving. Fuck you, fuck everybody, blah blah blah. And he's like, no, I promise you, we're going to get out of here. It's going to be fine, buddy. And then all of a sudden, like, a bunch of other trucks and stuff pull up around them. And they're like, oh, Stoneman, thanks for finding Jason for us. And, you know, everybody's, like, pointing guns away. Like, I ain't going back, man. I ain't going back. And Armstrong's like, oh, chill, buddy. It's okay. We're going to take care of it. Kill this asshole. Pop, 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 pop. Jason gets lit up like a fucking Christmas tree, roll credits, guys, what do we think? No. No, that's not exactly what happens. Jason lowers his gun. Kill him! Pop! Jason's dead. And we get Stoneman going, no! But then he gets fucking pistol whipped, and, you know, no roll credits there. What should have been. But we then cut to Stoneman. He's like in a well or something. Like he's in like the bottom of a well, like jacked up. And Taybeck's like, man, you should just do what they say. And then starts fucking peeing on him.
Ew.
Like that's a little fucked up. And then after he's done peeing on him, he like says to some guys off screen, like, all right, get him out of there, clean him up, let's get him on stage. Meanwhile, back at the hospital, we meet with the one female character in this movie, the wife. And she gets a call. She's like, hey, I've got some news about your husband. Yeah, just, you know, come with me and we'll take you to him. And it's, you know, to somebody off screen, like she's just kind of like glancing or whatever. I don't know. But it is very much like a slow-mo. I don't know. It's just kind of a weird shot scene, but it is what it is. So then there's this guy who, I don't know if he's like the marketing officer or like the second in charge or whatever. He's talking with Stoneman and he's basically like, look, Armstrong, you know, he's doing a good job here, but I'm thinking of doing like a spinoff league. And if you want to come like fight for me, I mean, I'll make it worth your while. Just think about it. If you make it through this next fight, you know, I'm like, what, how weird. That's a quick way to get yourself killed. Right? Big competition. Right. But,
that would have been funny if that guy that had the alternate plans, like, no, I have this idea where like you can compete in these type of events and we could show them on this plane. Where like criminals can bet on it. We could call it the money plane. How about going in on that idea?
I've got this this investor who's really interested. His name's Fraser Crane. Or oh fuck no, what's his name? The Rumble, whatever.
The Grouch. The
Grouch, yeah. Tiberius the Grouch the Third, yeah. Also known as the Rumble or some shit.
You want to bet on a dude fucking an alligator? Money plane.
Oh, shit. That'd be Darkona right there.
Oh, yeah.
Guys, Money Plane 2. Svenel Thorsen's still around. He just turned 79. Hear me out. Do you think this damn near 80-year-old can fuck an alligator? Taking bets now.
Yes. Yes.
I'm going to turn you into luggage for my dick. Yeah, right. So. All right. So yeah, then we get we see that Aaron is in the next fight against Darkona. Oh no! Yeah, we get another F slur and
ooh.
I don't know. We get a what do you want your tombstone, a hole? And I don't know. Darkona's like chasing him with he's like on a hovercraft chasing Aaron. And he's got the bolas that he's like spinning around and like throws on him to like trip him up and get him. And yeah, basically Stoneman gets there just in time to see Darkona snap Aaron's neck. Oh shit. And then, yeah, basically, I don't know. There's like this weird grungy dirgy song during like a flashback montage of like shit earlier in the movie. And I don't know. Like the main line of the song is like, what is it? And you spin as you fall back to earth. Okay. But guys, we've reached it. It's the final, the final fight. As they say in the movie, Stoneman the Thinker versus Darkona the Stinker.
Hey.
And I'm like, this stinker. Yeah, that's what I'd go with.
Yeah, that's what I would want to call this guy.
I don't know, it's like the night before the big final fight, and Armstrong goes to see Stoneman in a cell the night before, and he's like, hey, so just so you know, you're gonna lose tomorrow. And he's like, why the fuck would I do that? I'm not gonna kill the guy, but I'm definitely not gonna fucking lose. He's like, oh yeah, you are. And then Taybeck or whatever comes over comes around the corner with Stoneman's wife. With Stoneman's wife, and he's like, look, with this show, we kind of need like the recurring character that's kind of a heel. That's what Darkona is. Like I'm looking long term with this. You're whatever, and you're not even killing people. So yeah, in the final, you're gonna fucking lose. Or I'm gonna kill you and your wife. So there you go. Yeah, so then we get to the final event. And what game is it? The key. Mike, what's the key?
What was it? Was it the credit card one? Or
it's the one. I guess it starts out with them like running down a corridor, and they both have the bombs on their wrist, but they have to like get the key to swipe it. Otherwise,
I think we forgot something too. Didn't Doc die too? Like then they showed the hovercraft fights again, or
yeah. He died the last fight. Like Darkona snapped Doc's neck like right as Stoneman was like getting into the place to fight. He's like, no, and like, all right, cool, save it for the final. I guess I don't know. But yeah, the key.
Yeah, then it went to the speech like you gotta lose or your wife's gonna.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So then and another thing with the bombs on the wrist or whatever. Apparently Darkona's given 5 minutes and Stoneman's given 2 minutes. And I'm like, well, okay, yeah, sure, he's the champion or whatever. I guess that just makes it a 2 minute fight no matter what. Because it's not like you get like extra minutes for landing kicks or anything like that. But all right, cool, whatever. So they go running down the corridor. And I was thinking, like, you know, Svenel Thorsen's a big man. I don't think he's that fast to keep up with this karate expert guy. Like, you should be able to just like outrun him, and that's that. But then I said, like, yeah, there's a little fighting. Stoneman like jumps on Darkona's back and is just start like beating the back of his head or whatever, trying to get at him. And they're like, ah, get off me. And you know, even like picks him up and like fucking tosses him, like body slams him. And I'm like, okay, that's impressive just to pick him up, that's for sure.
Right.
Yeah. But then Darkona pulls a shift from hidden inside his pant leg or whatever and like hits Stoneman in the legs. Ah, and he's like, no exit, baby. And then just starts walking towards the little glass thing that has the key card or whatever. But then Stoneman pulls the knife out of his leg and tosses it at Darkona and hits him right in the back. Ah. And then he like kind of hobbles up to him and gives him a nice little like spin kick or whatever. Whoop-ah! And then, breaks the glass, gets the key. You lose, baby. Swipe. Boom. And then, So I was like, okay, cool. That had been in the way. I was just waiting to hear like off screen, like pop, pop. Okay, the wife's dead. Right. And then they come in. You son of a bitch. Got him down. But nope. Instead, Armstrong comes in and he's like, you dumb son of a bitch. You couldn't play nice. And now I got to kill you and your fucking wife. And it's all your goddamn fault. And I don't know. We get this whole scene where we see like the technicians like operate the switchboard or whatever. They're like, you know what? This Armstrong guy's kind of an asshole. Maybe we should just keep it on the air so everyone can see what he's doing. Yeah, why not? Like, okay, cool. Like I'm trying to get fired and or killed. How am I going to get home? Don't worry about it.
Let him speak. I'm trying to get fired.
That's right. they go on the whole thing like, don't you think people are going to be mad when they find out you're rigging the matches and stuff? And he's like, fuck them. They just want to see people die. They don't give a fuck about legitimacy. This is like the WWE, baby. I could say Hornswoggle's my kid and forget about them next week if they don't like it. I don't care. It was me, Austin. It was me all along, Austin.
Oh, bitch. That's for three people in the audience.
It's Patreon exclusive now. But what do you think they do? And even Armstrong's like, I don't know, man. I just give them a fucking service. Maybe they'll give me more money. Maybe they won't. I don't know. All I know is it's over for you. And someone's like, no, it's over for you. And I'm like, what? Why? How? They just saw somebody blow up. They saw who they thought was a main character get blown up. Did Game of Thrones stop when Ned Stark got his head chopped off?
Nope.
Should it have? Maybe. No, I was kidding. And if someone goes this whole thing like, you're doing this for money, and money is the only thing of value to you, and you don't know the meaning of value. And I was like, oh, God damn it. Like, just kill them already. But I don't know. Yeah, Armstrong's like, look, even if they got mad at me, guess what I'm going to do? Shut this bitch down, kill all you people, start again somewhere else, and do it all over again, because I gets the money. And then Stoneman's like, well, there's one thing you forgot. And then he like slips his wrist bomb onto Armstrong.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, how the fuck did that happen? Did he like just disconnect it and then just whatever?
Magic.
He pop, even show him like pop his thumb out of place and like do the slide thing like a fucking magician? No? All right. But then he slips it on and then you can see the timer, so I guess, still going on that 2 minutes. I'm like, oh, that would have passed a long time ago. But yeah, he's basically like, get down, like gets the wife down on the ground. Armstrong just boom, fucking explodes.
Yeah.
And then yeah, and I'm like, all right, cool. So Armstrong's dead. I guess you're still stuck in the middle of fucking nowhere with nowhere to go. Like,
middle of the goddamn desert.
Luckily, I'm sure that was a note in the initial draft of the movie, because you hear on the intercom, hey guys, there's a hovercraft in port 2 leaving now. If you want to get back to civilization, you should probably be on it. And then Stoneman like punches the guy who wanted to do the spinoff league or whatever on his way out, and we see a hovercraft going over the ice, and roll credits guys. That was Fatal Combat. Mike, would you recommend this movie?
Not really.
Would you recommend it for free on Tubi? Or
if you want to watch a dumb action film on Tubi, and I guess, yeah, if you really want to get your Sven Ole Forsen on, I guess watch it.
That's right, for the four of us out there that
right.
All right, how about you, babe?
No, this movie's not good.
It is a rough fish.
It's not even like, even Sven can't really save this movie.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, like I did this one because when I was looking up Sven Ole Forsen movies, I wanted ones where he actually spoke, and surprisingly few of those, but
right.
But this came up and it was like, oh, okay, he's actually like the legit like second bill, like, you know, like you know, Braxis, which,
yeah,
I mean, same director and all that too, but I mean, he does okay. I mean,
look, it's not Sven's fault this movie sucks.
Yeah, yeah.
I will say that. And honestly, even the lead guy is not awful. Everything around this movie, though, is awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not the greatest. But if you want to check it out, it's free on Tubi. If you want to hear Sven Ole Forsen say, shut up, bitch, you know I do. I may just have it for a drop later, just when I'm feeling down. Just it's good. Your time gonna come, baby. Like the drops like that. Sweet meat.
Hey, sweet meat.
Shit, I'll mix it into a hip-hop song. I don't know. I'll make it work. Remix. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, can't really recommend it. But yeah, on that note, we're gonna take a quick commercial break. When we come back, more beer. Fun facts and what we learned from Fatal Combat or No Exit, whatever it's called.
And we have a go for auto sequence start. Discovery's onboard computers have primary control of all the vehicle's critical functions.
Houston, final systems check for Space Shuttle Orion is affirmative. All systems are go on our end.
All systems go on RN2 Orion, T-minus 30 seconds to launch.
Copy that, Houston. Next stop, the International Space Station. Houston, we're picking up some interference on our end, over.
Roger that, Orion. We're getting it as well. Probably a local RMB station. Orion, we just got a sensor blip about a seatbelt becoming detached.
Houston, we have a problem. One of the passengers is out of his restraints and gyrating sexually around the cabin area. We must have to postpone the...
Orion, cancel that. The sensor has disengaged.
No, nope, sir. Please get back into your restraint.
Four.
What are you...
Three.
Put your helmet back on. Houston!
One.
Houston!
One last hurrah. The ultimate road trip. Only without roads.
What are you talking about? We gave that stuff up.
Bro, I'm talking about making history. Who else but the Kings of Tampa to be the first male entertainment troupe to perform in space? The cultural phenomenon is back. One last time.
Who are we even going to perform for?
You know, scientist babes, bro. Billionaire heiresses, princesses. You know they got commercial flights going up there now? Only the hottest, richest, and most powerful ladies in all the world. They'll be throwing suitcases of hundreds.
Suitcases of hundreds that they brought into space?
Dude, don't kill my vibe. I just took some Molly.
We've never even danced without gravity before. I mean, would sweat just kind of float around us? Or how does that even... Dude, what did I just say? Don't worry about it.
Magic Mike, Zero G Stream. Starring Channing Tatum, Joe Manganiello, Matt Bomer, and Ed Harris as Captain Smolders.
Gentlemen, we're receiving a communication hail. Go ahead, Houston.
Houston, at least you got the state right.
What the...
And the return of Academy Award winner Matthew McConaughey.
You didn't think you'd make it all the way to space without old Dallas's help, did you? Heh heh heh.
Oh, shh.
Magic Mike, Zero G Stream.
Hi, this is Ernie Hudson, Winston Zeddemore from Ghostbusters, from Oz, The Hand That Rocks, The Cradle of the Crow, Grayson, Frankie, Monroe Kelly, and Congo, your great white hunter, though I happen to be black. Steve, Izzy, just want to give you a shout out and let you know just how much you are truly loved and appreciated, as you truly are amazing. If anyone has the tools and the talent, it's you. Just keep having fun, stay healthy, safe, and of course, always, keep on busting.
And we're back.
Oh my God, Steve, those are the greatest ads that I've ever added in the history of adding.
Oh, she said it.
Thank you, bro.
Ah, babe.
Steve.
I don't know about you, but I'm a little thirsty.
Oh, that's weird because I am still sober. Mike, are you still sober?
Yeah, I still am.
My condolences. I have from, let's see, Wasatch Brewing, the New England style double IPA.
Ooh.
Fresh brewed in Park City, Utah by Wasatch Brew Pub.
Oh,
nice. 8% alcohol by volume. This was part of their throwback series or kickback series. There we go.
Kickback. Hey-ya!
Wasatch, Utah's first craft brewery, established in 1988. We drink our share and sell the rest. Made with locally sourced ingredients. Unfiltered and unpasteurized. Keep cold. Drink now. Drink fresh.
Forget the map. Wait, that was the other one.
That's Uinta.
What is it with these Utah breweries and forgetting maps?
What's up?
Nice.
And the pour? Yeah, it's a beautiful light straw color. Has a gorgeous white foamy head. Lots of medium bubbles. They seem to be lingering.
And they're lingering, yeah.
Ooh. Ooh, it smells hoppy right on the nose.
Yeah.
Lots of pine right up front. Almost like pine resin. Like if anybody ever played orchestra, it kind of smells like the stuff you resin your bow with.
Yeah, it's totally piney. Yeah, you know what? It tastes like Park City. Nothing but pine trees and cool crispness.
It tastes like Park City.
Yeah.
Tastes like Park City in this beer.
Guys, bring the 2034 Winter Olympics back to Utah. We need new roads.
Yeah, we do. Man, I am pretty sure the alignment on my car got fucked because of 20th Street. There's a reason why nobody drives Volkswagens here. They've all sunk into the potholes.
Oh, no. Yes, Wasatch Brewery, New England style, double IPA. It's pretty damn good. Check it out. Well, Mike, Izzy, would either of you be interested in any fun facts about this movie?
Only if they're facts, super fun facts, because of fun facts.
I want some fake, dull, boring factoids.
He wants those tidbits. Those
interesting tidbits, I hear. All right. Well,
I want the fun, interesting facts, too.
All right. Excellent. Well, super let's see fun what facts. We got. Unfortunately, we don't have an audience score on this one because it's fewer than 50 people, I guess, have seen and reported on this movie. There was one critic review. What do you think his score was out of 10?
2.
Is he?
1.5.
Mike's closest because it's 2 out of 10.
Hey!
But what is the IMDb score out of 10?
Ooh!
I'll stick with 2.
Is he?
These are always like weirdly inflated. 3.2.
3.9. Yes, there you go. Couldn't find anything about the budget or worldwide gross because, guys, let's face it, it was a straight to maybe not even DVD, just VHS or whatever.
I think Get Even was probably made on a bigger budget than this.
Oh, good old Get Even / yep. Road to Revenge / Champagne and Bullets. Yeah. Well, their money went to Wings Hauser, oddly enough.
Oh, Wings.
William Smith is like, wait, you got paid.
Wings Hauser would have made this movie more interesting.
Wings as the Armstrong or as Darkona.
Oh, I hate to replace Sven Olsen with anybody, but
Wings Hauser is Jason. What are you doing? No.
Yeah, you have the slimmy slide played during that Darkona scene.
Slimmy slide. Oh shit, you know who Wings Hauser would have been? Tayback or whatever, the guy that was like pistol whipping everybody. Oh, and like, yeah, that's a Wings Hauser role right there. The only fun fact really found was apparently Jeff Speakman was offered the lead role but turned it down. For those who don't know who Jeff Speakman is, he was in like The Perfect Weapon, like he was in a bunch of these other like straight to VHS like martial arts movies in the 90s. I know he was also oddly enough, guys, there was an early 2000s movie by Master P called Hot Boys with a Z. He was the master guy there, like Master Kim or whatever the fuck. But yeah, it was Jeff Speakman. That's about the only other thing I know him from offhand.
Oh, boys.
Would he have been better than what's this guy, Jeff Wincott? Probably not. Oh shit, you know who'd have been a great Stoneman? Michael Wincott.
Who's he, Steve?
Oh, you might know him as the guy that sounds like this, who's the Sheriff of Nottingham's brother in Prince of Thieves and
okay.
The Crow and Three Musketeers and stuff like that.
And Nope.
That's right, he was in Nope.
Imagine that voice trying to talk about like
violence is never the answer. All you gotta do is believe in love. We'll find a way out of this, Jason. I am the hero of this movie.
But we've reached the most important part.
Hey.
What did we learn from Fatal Combat? Mike, as our guest, would you like to go first?
Sure. I learned that if you're trying to figure out if you need a vasectomy or not, go to Legoland in Columbus and you'll find out. Maybe you should get a vasectomy.
And you learned that watching this movie. That's impressive.
Everything I learned from The Bad Vacation.
I had no idea they were at the Columbus Hospital in Legoland.
Oh, my.
I think what I actually learned is I think Money Plane started here.
Yeah, it's a Money Plane prequel. Money Plane's original title was Fatal Combat 2 Money Plane. They're like, nobody knows what Fatal Combat is. Fine, just call it Money Plane then. Are they going to think it's a Money Train sequel? Nobody remembers that movie with Woody Harrelson, Wesley Snipes, and J-Lo.
I'm sorry, who?
Babe, do you learn anything in this movie?
I'm Marion. Face down, ass up.
Well, on that note, I learned it's like a pretty girl who wants to hold hands. It's nice, but sometimes you just want to fuck.
Yeah.
And I also learned, even in the midst of winter, there is an invincible summer.
You should have had John DeHart say that line.
It was probably on his homepage for his law firm.
That was probably one of the lines he was saying to that playmate in his film.
Oh,
yeah. He's in the poetry hour.
You know, even in the midst of winter, there is an invincible summer. That's very interesting. Here, let me just crank this music up as we show off my tits in a hot tub. Guys, coming soon, champagne and bullets. Well, Mike, thank you so much for joining us. I understand you also have a social media presence of some sort?
Yep. I'm on X, what it's called now.
It's Twitter.
It's Twitter. I always call it Twitter.
Is X going to give it to you?
Probably not that X. I might try to give it to people in the draconian style, probably, but
yeah
I'm on the usual social media stuff, blah blah blah, album a day, blah blah blah, podcast appearances. I'm enthusiastic tonight.
Mike's living his best goddamn life.
That's right. Well, babe, how about you? Are you on social media at all?
You can find me everywhere. Untidy Venus. It's like a goddess who's bad at housekeeping. I'm on all the social medias at Untidy Venus. You can also find me over at izzycreates.com. Steve?
Yes.
Where can we find you?
Oh, you can find us everywhere on all the major podcatchers under Everything I Learned from Movies, or hit us up directly on Twitter. That's right, Twitter. Fuck X. Facebook or Patreon at EILF Movies. That's Everything I Learned from Movies. Guys, we're getting down last final days by the time you're hearing this. Podcard Fest is coming back. Woo! That's right. September 30th. Join us on the live stream where we'll be showing off some incredible artists, some other great things going on in Ogden, Utah. Anybody else who wants to like come on in on the chat and, we're going to have like raffle prizes, all sorts of cool shit. It's going to be great.
Oh, yeah.
I may even be drunk. We'll see. Woo! I don't know about that, but we'll see. If you want to hit us up, be on any of our game shows, obviously this being a Patreon exclusive episode, that of course we'll probably hit the real feed one of these days, just whenever I need an episode. Thank you so much for your support. We love you guys. You're great. Help us pay our bills. Help keep a cold beer in my hand. Keep my wife making art, all that fun stuff.
Ooh.
Really appreciate it.
We do. We appreciate all y'all.
And Mike, I don't know if you know this. We're talking about for 2024. We might change up our format a bit. What? Where we're just going to have guests come on and they're going to pick the movies.
Ooh.
Yeah. So something to keep in mind if you're on the Patreon and want to be on like, I don't know, every couple of months or whatever, hit us up.
We kind of just want to like do some fun things. Like there's a bunch of movies that we just want to do for no reason.
Like so the guests can either pick, or if they're like, oh, we want you guys to pick, like, cool, we're watching Champagne and Bullets,
once a month. I want to pick, babe.
You want to pick once a month? Better get on that Patreon. I guess until next time, I'm Steve.
And I'm Missy.
I'm Mike.
And this is Everything I Learned from a Movie. Have a good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
The time don't come, baby.
Sweet meat.
Oh, sweet meat.
Shut up, bitch.